Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving into a topic today that sits, well, right at this strange intersection of like historical austerity, cutting-edge behavioral science, and really modern digital entrepreneurship. It's a budgeting system that is, I mean, it's utterly simple. It just requires cash, paper, and a bit of physical constraint. And yet it's currently being rebranded, monetized, and championed by this huge, thriving community all across social media. We are exploring the envelope system and its modern million-dollar avatar, cash stuffing. You've provided us with a fantastic stack of sources for this. We've got foundational materials defining the whole system, some really deep dives into its psychological efficiency, and crucially, these case studies that illustrate its leap into modern business. So for you listening, our mission is to gain a quick but, you know, a profoundly thorough understanding of how this seemingly ancient tool imposes structure on our often abstract digital wealth. We need to know not just what it is, but why it maintains such a powerful grip on human behavior, especially in the 21st century.
It's a perfect deep dive for behavioral finance. It really is. We're essentially analyzing this powerful counter trend for years. I mean, the whole narrative has been that finance must become more abstract, more automated, more digital.
Right. Less friction is better.
Exactly. But here, we have a method that deliberately introduces physical friction and tangibility, and it's seeing exponential growth. The core question we're going to keep returning to is how imposing these like physical constraints on digital wealth can be the key to financial discipline for millions of people, and particularly for younger generations who, you know, they've never really known a cash-dominant world.
That's a great point. Let's start by just grounding ourselves in the terminology, because the multiple names it has really reflect its journey from, what, a mid-century concept to a modern brand.
Right. Our sources give us three main identifiers for the method, and the evolution of these names, and it kind of tells the story in itself. Historically, we have the really straightforward envelope system.
Simple enough.
Or the slightly more clinical-sounding envelope budgeting method. These names, they just describe the mechanism. It's fundamentally designed for visualizing and maintaining a flexible budget using, you know, paper currency. It's utilitarian. It's clear.
But then we have the term that has truly driven its commercial and its viral success, cash stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
And this rebranding feels really intentional. It focuses on the active verb, mm-hmm. the action that defines the practice, rather than the passive container, the envelope.
That's it, exactly. It moves the concept from a system you follow to an action you perform. And at its heart, you know, regardless of what you call it, the core idea is based on this one principle. You prioritize your cash income to meet separate categories of household expenses in physically separate envelopes.
It's literal. Tangible compartmentalization.
It is.
So the critical point here is that focus on physicality. I mean, if the goal is just compartmentalization, why not just use a spreadsheet? What does converting a digital bank balance into tangible cash actually achieve that our amazing technology misses?
Well, it creates what you could call cognitive friction, which we'll definitely get into more in the next section.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, it addresses this fungibility paradox.
Fungibility.
Yeah.
So the idea that $1 is the same as any other dollar.
Precisely. In your bank account, a dollar you've mentally earmarked for rent looks exactly the same as a dollar you might spend on a movie. They are perfectly fungible, interchangeable. The envelope system just destroys that fungibility.
Hmm.
Once that cash is allocated, once it goes into the groceries envelope, it stops being a generic dollar and it becomes a grocery dollar. That's the central design principle here. Prioritizing how you allocate your resources by using physical barriers.
Okay, so let's talk practical implementation. Not, you know, not as a tutorial, because mm-hmm. our listeners are smart, they're familiar with the basics, but more as an analysis of the system's inherent design principles.
Yeah.
The process is really defined by three high-impact steps.
The required physical setup is itself the first design principle. And while it definitely started with basic paper envelopes, modern practitioners have these highly specialized tools.
Right, I've seen these online. Ring binders with, like, clear zipper pouches.
Exactly. And they're often labeled. The visual element is absolutely key. The container has to instantly convey its purpose and its contents. If you can't see the money, the system loses, I'd say, half its power.
And the labeling process, that's the first act of self-commitment, isn't it? Our sources detail this as step one, labeling. You're not just scribbling groceries on an envelope. You're writing groceries $600 per month. You are defining the expense category, and you are committing to a fixed, predetermined ceiling for that category. It It turns the envelope into a mini contract with yourself.
That's so crucial. It's a preemptive strike against what people call budget creep. You are quantifying the risk before the month even begins. You're forcing yourself to confront the reality of that limit right away before a single dollar of cash even enters the container. Which brings us to the action that gives the whole modern movement its name. Step 2, allocation or cash stuffing. This is the behavioral linchpin.
This is the ritual.
It is the ritual. Whether you do this once a month or, you know, biweekly when you get paid, this is the moment where digital liquidity, that abstract number just sitting in your bank app, is converted into a tangible, constrained resource. You take your physical cash and you distribute the corresponding amount into the correct labeled envelope.
And what's interesting there is the intentionality of the timing. You do this immediately upon receiving your income. You don't wait until the bills are due. You are actively prioritizing future expenses over your current, you know, impulses.
Yes. You're paying your budget first. You're enforcing that old pay yourself first principle, but on an extremely granular level. You're paying your future electric bill first, your future self who's going to need groceries first, and your future self who wants some entertainment first.
And then we get to step 3, payment. This is the simple mechanical outcome that reinforces the entire structure you've just built. When the bill is due, or when you're at the checkout at the store, the money is taken out of the specific envelope. It's that simple. If you try to pay for a new pair of shoes with money from the car repair envelope, the system physically resists you.
It does.
If the money in the fun envelope runs out, the fun just stops, immediately and visibly. There's no fudging the numbers.
And the goal here, as you mentioned earlier, is this powerful combination of visualization and flexibility. The visualization part is obvious. You see the money, you touch the money. Mm-hmm. You literally see it diminish as you spend it. But the flexibility aspect is often overlooked.
I was going to ask about that. How can a system with such strict limits actually offer flexibility? It seems counterintuitive.
Well, the flexibility is within the category itself. So if I budget, say, $600 for groceries, that $600 is locked down. I can't use it for dinner out. That's the strict part. But if I find a great sale on meat and I only spend $500 that month, the remaining $100 is physically visible in the envelope. It's right there. I now have the flexibility to roll that over into next month's grocery budget, or I can formally remove it, assign it a new label, and maybe move it to a savings category.
That's interesting. Digital systems often make that kind of rollover complex or at least opaque.
Oh.
You don't really see the surplus in the same way. Here, it's physically present and immediately available for you to reassign.
Exactly. So it provides these hard constraints on external category spending, but it gives you soft, adaptable control over internal category savings or rollovers.
That's a surprisingly sophisticated design for such a simple-looking tool. It gives you immediate feedback, not just on your spending, but on your saving success.
And that feedback is so crucial for motivation. When you open the debt repayment envelope and see that it's thicker than you planned for it to be this month, that tactile reinforcement is just. It's far more satisfying than reading an updated account statement on a screen.
Yeah.
It's the tangibility that turns an abstract success into a concrete, physical victory.
That tangible victory, that brings us squarely to the behavioral psychology that underpins this whole system. I mean, if this were merely an accounting tool, it would have been obsolete 50 years ago. The reason it persists and thrives is the psychological advantage centered on what our sources call allocation protection.
This is where we can really deliver the deep dive. The core finding, the one cited in basically all the source material, is that the system prevents users from spending money that is already dedicated to a specific bill. Why? Because the cash is physically removed from the common spending pool.
Let's call it behavioral friction engineering. My checking account balance, even if I have a budget in a spreadsheet somewhere, it just feels like an instantaneous, limitless resource accessible with a little plastic card.
Right. It's just a number.
It's just a number. The envelope system creates a necessary firewall for my money. Once that $1,500 cash goes into the mortgage envelope, it is psychologically and physically removed from my spending stream. It doesn't exist for coffee or online shopping anymore.
And this takes us directly into the work of people like Daniel Kahneman, into his work on mental accounting. We don't treat all our dollars the same, even though they are mathematically identical.
Hope not.
When a large sum, like a paycheck, hits your bank account, the brain often mentally labels a portion of it as found money or available funds, even if you know full well the power company is due for payment.
A fun money illusion.
Exactly. The envelope system forces an external physical accounting that overrides that inherent human tendency for Well, for self-deception.
So how does the physical absence of the cash amplify this allocation protection? What's the mechanism there?
It creates a huge psychological barrier to deviation. To successfully cheat the system, you have to engage in a really high-effort cognitive process. You have to physically locate the utilities envelope, you have to open it, remove the funds you already committed, and then you have to consciously justify the violation of that commitment to yourself.
You're not just watching a number drop on your phone, you are physically breaking a covenant you made with yourself. That conscious physical breach is so much more painful and difficult to rationalize than a simple impulse swipe.
And that leads us directly to the pain of payment, one of the most researched phenomena in consumer behavior. Studies have used fMRI scans, and they show that when people pay with physical cash, their brain registers higher activity in the regions associated with pain and loss.
The insula, right.
The insula, exactly. And that activity is much higher compared to paying with credit or debit cards.
So when I physically hand over five $20 bills for groceries, my brain is registering that loss far more acutely than if I just tap my phone. It's immediate visceral loss aversion at work.
Precisely. The digital transaction abstracts the loss. It turns money into points or just data, making the spending feel less consequential, less real. Cash maintains its identity as a finite, hard-earned resource. By forcing you to touch it, hold it, and physically surrender it, the envelope system maximizes the pain of payment, which, paradoxically, improves your budgeting adherence.
Let's dig deeper into the accountability that's provided by the ritual of cash stuffing itself. The fact that practitioners turn this into a structured, often weekly, ritual must serve a purpose beyond just, simple organization.
Oh, absolutely. It's a proactive anchoring mechanism. By sitting down with their income, dividing the cash, labeling, filling the binders, the user is forcing a dedicated hour of financial mindfulness. They are establishing a conscious, intentional relationship with their money.
They're asking the question.
They're asking, where exactly is this money going? And they have to provide a physical answer. This is in stark contrast to the reactive financial management that's so typical today. Where we check the bank account only when we're worried, or we rely on year-end statements to tell us where the money went after the fact. The stuffing ritual makes the user the active manager of their funds before the spending even occurs. And that shift from reactive to proactive, it's foundational to long-term budgeting success.
Okay, what about the psychological traps? Our audience is sophisticated. They understand things like the sunk cost fallacy. How does a simple system like this interact with a complex bias like that?
It actually helps mitigate it through very clear demarcation. So the sunk cost fallacy, it often leads people to continue funding a bad decision because they've already invested resources, right? I've come this far. I can't stop now. Mm-hmm. The envelope system helps because if the new hobby envelope is empty, the hobby stops. There's no ambiguity. The physical limit prevents you from rationalizing dipping into the savings envelope to sustain a failing venture. The system enforces a logical termination based on real resource availability, not on your emotional commitment.
That makes perfect sense. The empty envelope itself becomes a hard stop sign, whereas a digital account balance might only feel like a yellow light or even just a suggestion. This leads us to the crucial counterpoint, though, the cashless society. For the listener focused on the future of finance, they have to be asking. In an environment where major retailers prefer card payments and carrying large amounts of cash is inconvenient or even risky, how can this physical constraint still hold so much behavioral power?
This is the paradox we identified right at the top. The system survives because for its users, the behavioral benefit outweighs the logistical inconvenience. For individuals struggling with impulse debt or chronic overspending, the inconvenience of having to withdraw cash, keep it separate, and use it physically is seen as a feature, not a bug.
It's a necessary roadblock to self-sabotage.
That's a perfect way to put it. Furthermore, we have to recognize that the system is rarely used for 100% of a person's expenses. It's typically applied to the variable, flexible spending categories.
The danger zones.
The danger zones. Groceries, entertainment, personal care, eating out the categories where impulse spending is most prevalent. Fixed, large bills like rent or a mortgage are often still paid directly from the bank account. The cash envelope, in that case, just acts as the tracker and the physical allocation for that committed amount, even if the payment itself ends up being digital.
So it's a hybrid approach. The envelopes handle the behavioral challenge zones, the areas where we lack discipline, while digital payment handles the logistical necessities of modern life. It's leveraging cash for control and digital for efficiency.
It's the best of both worlds, strategically deployed. The physical method provides the tangible, high-impact feedback required for behavior modification, while digital methods handle the bulk efficiency. The wild success of cash stuffing is really a testament to the fact that for many people, digital abstraction is often the enemy of financial discipline.
Okay, so the sources are really clear. The original methodology is cash-based, but recognizing this shift in payment methods, practitioners have developed ways to achieve the same allocation protection digitally. Let's look at those functional equivalents.
The ability to adapt is absolutely key to the system's longevity. We see the strategy being applied in lieu of physical envelopes by using two primary digital methods.
First, and this seems like the most direct one-to-one translation, is the creation of digital firewalls, multiple checking accounts.
This is the most direct digital analog, you're right.
Yeah.
Instead of labeling a physical envelope for, say, car maintenance, you open a dedicated secondary checking account, and you label it that way in your banking app.
And you set up an auto transfer.
You set up an auto transfer for the precise monthly amount, and it happens immediately when you get your income. Then, when you need to pay for an oil change, you use the debit card linked only to that specific account.
That sounds like a pretty clean solution.
Mm-hmm.
You get the allocation protection, the money for car maintenance can't accidentally be spent on Amazon, and you get to keep the convenience of digital payments.
It is cleaner logistically, but we have to talk about the trade-offs, which were highlighted in some of the critiques we looked at. You completely sacrifice the pain of payment benefit.
Ah, right.
Swiping a card linked to the car maintenance account feels identical to swiping a card linked to your primary account. It doesn't trigger that same loss aversion response in your brain.
And there's the administrative burden. I mean, managing multiple accounts, keeping track of different debit cards, and potentially navigating minimum balance requirements or, you know, monthly fees from your bank. That can introduce a complexity that kind of defeats the elegant simplicity of the original paper envelope system.
Exactly. The second major adaptation is using specialized budgeting software. A lot of financial technology, you know, fintech apps, have formalized virtual envelope or POT features.
I've seen these. Monzo in the UK was famous for this early on.
Yes, and many others have followed suit. These apps let you assign every dollar in your primary checking account to a virtual category or envelope immediately. So when you use your main debit card, the app automatically deducts that transaction from the corresponding virtual envelope's balance. The money never physically moves between accounts. The app is just handling all the internal tracking.
This seems like the highest convenience option. You keep one bank account, one card, and the app does all the heavy lifting of tracking and deduction. But again, the trade-off. We have to analyze the trade-off. Does the sheer convenience of automated software, the elimination of that physical ritual, also eliminate the psychological commitment that's required to make the budget stick in the first place?
That's the core question. For users whose primary challenge is just poor organization, these digital tools are a huge win. They provide the necessary visibility and categorization instantly. However, for users who struggle with impulse control and habitual overspending, the ones who truly need that behavioral constraint, the physical presence of cash remains the superior intervention. So the question for you, the listener, is this. Are you primarily disorganized or are you impulsive? Your answer to that really dictates which adaptation is going to work best for you.
So if we connect this all to the bigger picture of financial strategies, it becomes really clear that the envelope system is a mechanism. It's a tool that sits within these larger financial strategies. It's the tactical deployment of a bigger philosophical approach to money.
It is.
Let's provide some context by placing the envelope system within the broader ecosystem of financial management concepts, starting with the most foundational one, the personal budget.
Right. The personal budget is the strategic plan. It's the map that outlines your future financial trajectory. The envelope system isn't the map itself. It's the vehicle you use to navigate that map day to day. It ensures you don't veer off course into, you know, impulse spending territory.
And the most direct philosophical match for the envelope system has to be zero-based budgeting, or ZBB. The sources make a really strong case that the physical method is the practical enforcement tool for this, frankly, rigorous philosophy.
ZBB demands intense intentionality. The rule is that income minus expenses must equal zero. That means every single dollar you earn has to be assigned a job saving, spending, investing, debt repayment before the month begins. You can't have unallocated money just floating around.
The miscellaneous category killer.
It really is. And the envelope system enforces ZBB with Well, with brutal efficiency. Why? Because when you have a physical stack of cash in front of you, the requirement to put every single bill into a specifically labeled container forces you to assign every dollar a purpose. You literally cannot finish the cash stuffing ritual until every last dollar is accounted for.
It eliminates that miscellaneous category, or at least it forces the user to define exactly how much money they are comfortable just kind of losing to the miscellaneous bucket.
Exactly right. ZBB is the rule set, which is you must give every dollar a name. The envelope system is the operational procedure, which is you must physically move every dollar into the container with its assigned name. This tactile enforcement is the genius of their marriage.
We should probably briefly mention the high-level organizational concepts that came up in the sources, program budgeting and participatory budgeting, just to show that these principles of intentional allocation and constraint are, well, they're universal.
Yeah, these concepts just confirm that allocating resources to specific goals isn't just a personal finance trick. It's a necessary strategy in any complex organization, from a government to a corporation. Program budgeting, for instance, it links funds directly to achieving specific outcomes. A program, not just paying for things or line items. It's all about organizational intentionality.
And participatory budgeting.
Similarly, participatory budgeting, where communities get to decide how public funds are spent, requires extreme transparency and a really clear allocation of resources to defined goals. In all these cases, the fundamental human need is to know exactly where the money is going and why. The envelope system just democratizes that corporate-level financial discipline for the individual.
So the bottom line for our listener here is that the envelope system isn't just a quirky budgeting method. It's a practical, immediate, and behaviorally sound tool for enforcing the demanding intentionality that's required by serious philosophies like zero-based budgeting. Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. This is where we transition from deep financial philosophy to, well, modern digital commerce. We have a system that requires cash and paper items you can easily source for free, yet it has exploded into a niche, specialized, and highly profitable business category. We are talking about the commercialization of cash stuffing.
This phenomenon, it just speaks volumes about the enduring human need for structure and the willingness to pay for systems that facilitate compliance. It's the difference between buying a gym membership, which is a structure, versus just deciding you're going to exercise, which is the intent. People buy the tools to enforce the intent.
And our sources introduce the perfect case study to illustrate this massive pivot. The practitioner who became an entrepreneur, Jasmine Taylor.
Jasmine Taylor is a perfect microcosm of this trend. She identified a rapidly growing niche that was being driven by social media. She applied a historical methodology, and then she productized the implementation tools. She started her business at 31, and she specifically targeted those who had already adopted the cash stuffing philosophy.
And the origin of her startup capital is, I mean, it's genuinely astonishing given the context. She leveraged her $1,200 stimulus check.
Unbelievable.
Government funds designed to stabilize household spending during a period of economic uncertainty, and she used them to launch a business centered on hyper-efficient personal resource allocation.
It's a remarkable piece of irony, isn't it? The stimulus check was intended to inject liquidity into the economy. She used it to create tools that are designed to restrict personal liquidity for her customers. That initial capital bought her supplies, marketing materials, inventory, and it turned a one-time relief payment into a perpetual revenue stream built on financial discipline.
And her reported success is not small potatoes. Based on the timeline in our sources, her business was on track to generate $1 million in revenue within a single year. This is a massive valuation for a business selling accessories for a method that, at its core, you can do for free.
This really requires a deep analysis of the business model. That $1 million revenue figure proves that the demand is not for the concept of budgeting, which is free information, but for the compliance tools. Consumers are buying items that facilitate the analog system and make the ritual of budgeting more engaging, more pleasant.
Okay, so let's talk product differentiation. If a simple manila envelope works, what exactly are Jasmine Taylor and other entrepreneurs like her selling that justifies the price point and drives that kind of $1 million revenue?
They're selling several things at once. First, durability and organization. The products are custom designed for the ZBB and envelope method. high-quality, clear plastic zipper pouches, custom-printed tracking dashboards, specialized budget planners, and these durable A6 or A5-sized ring binders. They are designed for repeated physical handling in a way a standard paper envelope just isn't.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the aesthetic element cannot be overstated. This is where the social media trend, sometimes called budget porn, comes into play. The beautifully organized, custom-labeled binders, often in themed colors or with elaborate fonts, turn what is traditionally a dry, boring chore into a visually appealing lifestyle activity.
So the visual appeal actually becomes part of the accountability mechanism.
Mm.
If you have a beautiful, expensive binder system, you are much more likely to show it off on TikTok or Instagram. And you're far more likely to actually use it to justify the investment and to participate in the community that's formed around it.
Precisely. You shift from thinking, oh, I have to do my boring budget, to I get to participate in my organized, visually satisfying financial ritual. The products sell the ritualization of financial control. They turn a tedious necessity into a self-affirming hobby.
It's like buying high-end workout gear to motivate yourself to go to the gym.
It's the exact same principle. Think about the psychological function of buying the tools. Consumers are paying for compliance through investment. By spending, say, $100 or $200 on a specialized binder system, they are making a financial commitment to the process itself. That upfront investment increases the likelihood that they'll follow through, lest the beautiful new binder just sit on a shelf unused. It's a classic commitment device, just monetized for the digital age.
Let's analyze that rebranding a little more. The shift from envelope system to cash stuffing. It feels inherently visual and performative.
It's marketing genius, and it's perfectly tailored for the short-form video economy of platforms like TikTok. Envelope system is static, it's a noun. Cash stuffing is a dynamic, repetitive action. Videos showing crisp sacks of cash being carefully divided, counted, and placed into these satisfyingly zipping binders, they generate tremendous engagement.
The ASMR of personal finance.
You could say that. The ritual is easily digestible, it's visually clear, and it instantly conveys success and control. Someone watching a 30-second video of another person stuffing $5,000 into neatly labeled binders is seeing an achievable path to organized financial control, which then drives immediate product interest. The commercial products provide the perfect aesthetic backdrop for that viral content.
It also lowers the barrier to entry for teaching the system. Instead of having to explain the complex philosophy of zero-based budgeting, you can simply demonstrate the visually appealing act of stuffing the cash, and the philosophy is implicitly understood.
And this commercialization also speaks to the demographic. While the system is historical, its modern resurgence is heavily driven by millennials and Gen Z, who grew up entirely within the digital financial world. For many of them, this is the first time they're physically interacting with and managing cash since, you know, their childhood piggy banks. The attractive structured systems offer a guided, curated path to reconnecting with tangible money management.
The success story of Jasmine Taylor proves a really powerful point. Even the simplest, oldest personal finance strategies can be successfully rebranded, monetized, and scaled in the digital age, provided they solve a fundamental behavioral problem.
Right, and that problem is the difficulty of imposing discipline on abstract digital wealth, a problem that technology, for all its advances, often overlooks or even makes worse. Hashtag outro.
So what does this all mean? We've traced the envelope system from its, you know, humble analog origins all the way through to its unexpected emergence as a real force in modern finance and commerce.
I think the key takeaway is that the method's enduring success lies not in its accounting, precision apps, and software can handle that better, but in its ability to harness fundamental human psychology. It's a robust budgeting method based on the physical allocation of cash, which forces an immediate, tangible realization of your resource limits.
And that physicality, that generates the core benefit, powerful allocation protection.
Yeah.
By physically separating funds, it creates these behavioral firewalls that increase the pain of payment for impulse purchases, making intentional financial discipline significantly easier to maintain than just relying on mental willpower alone.
And we noted its necessary evolution. While the physical cash method, you know, delivers the maximum behavioral impact, the underlying strategy of allocation has been effectively adapted for the digital world. People are using multiple checking accounts or specialized budgeting software, allowing you to choose the right level of friction for your own personal needs.
And finally, we saw the incredible commercialization of this concept, where the demand isn't for the free idea of budgeting, but for the specialized tools that ritualize the process. The success of entrepreneurs like Jasmine Taylor really shows that people are willing to pay a premium for structures that enforce compliance and transform a chore into a visually appealing, successful personal ritual. This simple budgeting tool is proof that sometimes the most effective solution to digital confusion and information overload isn't a smarter algorithm, but a deliberate return to physical, tactile constraints and, well, high-effort intentionality. For you, the learner, the question remains. When you look at your own financial management system, does the convenience of abstraction outweigh the psychological power of tangibility?
And regardless of whether you switch to cash tomorrow or you stick with your digital tracking tools, the critical thought to take away from this deep dive is the power of visualization. Financial success is driven by intentionality and accountability. So look at your budget today and ask yourself, are my spending allocations real? Do they exist only in a spreadsheet? Or have I created actual noticeable boundaries that force me to adhere to the limits I've set for myself? That boundary, whether it's digital or physical, is the secret to enduring financial control.